everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to The Smiley Show, where we are recapping moving day at the 153rd Open Championship at Royal Portrush. I'm Charlie Hume. He is Smiley Kaufman. Smiley, if the theme of the day on Friday was WTF, I think the theme of Saturday was LFG. Ton of energy out there on the course. You were with the Brian Harman, Hao Tong Lee group, but testing us throughout the day, Rory McIlroy, the energy around his group, the fans backing him. I know he's 6 back of the lead here, and we are, of course, going to talk about Scottie Scheffler, but that second to last group with Matt Fitzpatrick, I mean, just the anticipation that we're building for a Sunday where he's in contention in his home country at a course that feels like a home game for him. How good is this?
It was a great Saturday, but this Saturday is about to get a little bit better as I'm going to bring you all on the journey here and split the G. So here we go, guys.
Oh, wow.
The day just got pretty good.
Okay, well, let's see if you can do it.
All right, split the G.
This is a big moment. We're narrating live. I'm Charlie Hume. We got Smiley Kaufman here in his hotel room attempting to split the G, and it appears he was a little too low on that G.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? I split it.
Oh, wait a second. He split it. I thought it was the heart.
Hold on. No, I was just a bad angle. It's just a little short.
That's the screenshot. That's the screenshot. And also, let me get it there.
Right there. There we go. Now I split it.
That's the screenshot. That's what we're going to use for the show.
Cheers, guys.
And look at how responsible Smiley's being. It's a 0.0 guess. we're podcasting responsibly here. Very key piece of the day. Going down
first
a little
time.
Rough there.
First time.
I think it's so unique, the position that Rory's in, and we saw, it's almost wild to me he shot the score he did, 5 under 66, given some of the positions he was in off the tee, but right. Just the energy around it's so good, man. I mean, you've said this all week long, like your love for this championship continues to grow, and this has to be growing exponentially given what you've just witnessed on site this year.
It keeps creeping up. This might be my favorite major championship. It just has everything. You know, this event, it's just with the weather that comes and you just never know what you're going to get with the golf course and this particular venue. It's been a really fun test for these guys with there's just something you have to take on every single shot. With whether it's a fairway bunker or the next shot where you're going to have to take on a slope that's falling off into a collection area with a pin that's right on top of it. And that's kind of what every single hole has, that same kind of deal. And then you throw in weather on top of it. And now an easy hole becomes a hard hole. And it just is, it's just the best event ever. And today was probably one of my favorite Saturdays and me working in this business. It was a day in which I really honestly, like, I was in the booth for the first 3 hours of the show. Where we tee Rory off and he gets off to that hot start, birdies 1 and 2. And you're thinking like, oh wow, Rory's about to get it going. Then of course birdies 4. And you could just sense the energy from the crowd. And then when I finally got my pack on to head out with the second last group of the day, which was Hao Tong Lee and Brian Harman, and got to see the crowds and hear the crowds kind of early on in that front nine, it was remarkable just how many people were out there. Every grandstands were filled. And just you could kind of get a sense of, you know, when I knew Rory made a putt, I was just waiting to hear the roar. And it felt like, you know, we always talk about the roars at Augusta. If the roars at Port Rush were phenomenal today, the crowd pops in my ears. Seriously, I had to keep turning my audio down because the crowd pops on just so many different occasions, whether it was a Rory putt, Fitzpatrick, Scotty, Hao Tong Lee was getting some, he was getting some good crowd pops, but just a day where it was just great to be a golf fan in Royal Port Rush. I'm sure it had to look amazing on TV because everywhere I pointed my camera today, it was just gorgeous. Just an incredible Saturday.
I love so much on the replay shots of Rory making a putt, that long birdie putt he makes where they're kind of angling back into the stands and he's just raising the fist slow-mo. And it's like a whole country's behind him, all standing up, just pumping their fists in his direction. It's really, really cool. I'm glad he's in and around it. The unfortunate piece of that is he is six back of the world number
picked
one
up
player.
One. He picked up one.
He picked up one, which is worth something. For me, looking at what Scotty's done this week, I mean, you texted us the absurdity of the fact that he's made birdie at 16 all 3 days. To me, I felt like a great summary of what Scotty's done well at Port Rush this week was the way he played 11 and 12 today, where 11, he's got, I think it was like 150, maybe 145 into that green, pulls it left into what looks like an impossible spot, manages an incredible up and down, and then on 12, finds that little bunker off the tee, takes his medicine, finds his way to make par. He made eagle today. I mean, I guess four under on the day, but just the way he's managed being out of position this week has been the key to his entire, you know, the way he's scored and why he's four shots up heading into the final round here.
Well, totally. And it's just absurd when you just go look at his statistics, the fact that he's first in putting for the week. If it's game over when he's first in putting for a week, it really is. He's got a four shot lead. This thing feels insurmountable. I just don't see a world in which Scottie Scheffler gives up four strokes, especially with who's chasing. You know, Hao Tong Lee, who's not necessarily proven to chase down world number ones. Now, maybe it'll happen, but I definitely wouldn't be wagering on any money on anybody else other than Scottie Scheffler to win this golf tournament. It's just too many guys are too far back and you just can't give him a lead. You just can't give him strokes. He's too good off of the tee. There's not enough areas around this golf course to where I feel like he could possibly make a huge number. You know, there's no just crazy situation where he walks away with a quadruple bogey somehow in a hole. It's just not going to happen. He may make a couple bogeys. He may make a random double with a bad tee shot that ends up in a gorse bush. But for the most part, I doubt that he could probably play the whole ball the whole day is what I'm expecting is going to happen. And he can probably go out and shoot an even par round and hoist his fourth major.
I agree completely because I feel like if the story of his week was making a lot of red numbers, a lot of birdies, a lot of eagles, but there were moments where he was finding trouble and unable to kind of recover, maybe you could see that kind of getting off the rails on a Sunday. But he's just even if the ceiling has been high, but he's managed the floor so well this entire week that I think maybe if we're constructing scenarios where other players come into this golf tournament, it's that he's playing kind of baseline even par golf when we get another perfect weather day and someone from, you know, whether it's Rory or Hao Tong Lee just goes nuts on that front nine and kind of pulls within a shot or two. And that's the drama we have on the back nine at Royal Port Rush. Do you agree there?
Well, yes, potentially. Did you happen to see the quote from Billy Foster?
I did not. On what topic?
Being with Scottie Scheffler over the first 2 days, somebody asked him about, just caddying in the same group as Scottie and what was your impressions? I guess that he had said something to Scottie out off the 18th green after Friday. But to sum it up, he just basically said that, you know, Scottie Scheffler's in a different class. And we all know this, but Billy Foster's been around a very long time. And, you know, his opinion's valid when he just watched a guy play for 36 holes. And of course, we obviously saw what we saw today. But it was just comical to me that every time I would look up the leaderboard in my mind, I'm just, there's just so much energy in this golf tournament. So the crowd, Rory, all these birdies. And then I kept on looking up the leaderboard and thinking, it's got to be like close to even, right? Or it's got to be like just a one shot lead. And I would look up and it's like, Scotty's up four. How did we get here? How did we get here? But really it's to no surprise, right?
Well, I mean, I think even there have been moments where it could have turned. 11 was a great one where Scotty plays his approach shot first there. And then a huge door open for Fitzpatrick, leaves it short and ends up three putting. And instead of Scotty losing a shot to Fitz, Scotty gains one there. And it's really hard to spot the world number one four shots and expect for there to be a ton of intrigue. It feels a little bit like Quail Hollow again. That's not a Royal Port Rush Quail Hollow perspective. I think it's just more so just again, if he had found some form of trouble or adversity in these first 3 days, or if there was a part of his game that felt like is a little shaky, and maybe if you know, you hit a just some sort of roadblock early in the day on Sunday, he could kind of lose a few shots to the field. But it's just he's done such a good job of not making big numbers. And that's what winning a major championship is all about.
The intrigue for me is greatness. I mean, he's chasing greatness. I mean, he's about to potentially win his third major, now potentially the U.S. Open on Shinny next year, will be the talk of completing the Grand Slam. And just like how we started the week, Scottie Scheffler just having an incredible interview about just life in general and being a professional golfer and what golf, you know, means to him as a competitor and what his family means to him and just all of these things that you kind of wonder, like, what frame of mind is he in this week? Because it was kind of a rambled bit of Picasso that we didn't deserve. But we also wondered, like, where is he right now? You know, like, is he going to go out and have a good week? And of course, here we are with a four shot lead. And I just love these days as a kid, you know, when I was watching Tiger Woods with a lead on Sunday. You know, it's always fun when he would be chasing, but I enjoyed the rounds more when he had the lead and just watching him babysit a golf round and just let everybody else come and try to chase him. I know some people think that can be boring, but I think boring is great. You know, I think every player would love to get to a point in their career where they can just play boring golf and chase greatness. And that's what he's doing.
Well, it's funny when we think back on Tiger, like a lot of Tiger's approaches to these majors were pretty conservative. I mean, we have the highlight moments. Those are the things that we look back on, we see on social media. But a lot of it was build a big lead and then make conservative decisions and be able to execute those better than other players because he was the best across the board in the game of golf. I mean, if we're reflecting back on Scotty's comments at the beginning of the week, I think there is a bit of the approach that he's taken this week is reflected in what he's talking about. It's like he's so process focused that he applies that to his approach at a course like this. And that's why he hasn't let the emotion of the moment get to him and make a big number. So it's all interesting. I do want to talk about a few other players that could be in and around it tomorrow. You were with Brian Harman, Hao Tong Li today. Mm-hmm. Hao Tong Li playing in that final group with Scottie Scheffler. The only real factoid that I had on Hao Tong entering this week is remembering back to the 2019 President's Cup where he played out of order and JT made him replay his shot. You know, that's a very random and just my one reference point. But just
he didn't have a good President's Cup. There's stories that have gone around this week where Ernie wasn't necessarily thrilled with Hao Tong that week with a lot of different things.
Well, what did you like if people are tuning in tomorrow and they haven't caught up on much of what's happened this entire week and they're trying to just get a frame of reference on who they're going to see alongside Scotty in the final group? What would you tell them about what you saw in Hao Tong's game today?
Flusher, dude. An absolute flusher.
Boy, my looks goodness. Like it.
He has hit on these greens, which are completely diabolical in places, slopes that are, you know, working away off the green, humps and bumps you have to deal with. And he has found a way to hit 84 or 83% of his greens in regulation this week. Just stupid. I know from
insanity.
from like a strokes gained perspective. Scotty still is first in strokes gained approach, but Hao Tong Li is number two. And he played so confident today. I worry a little bit because just walking down the 18th, he was like really frustrated with himself about not hitting 3-iron off of that tee. And you kind of just saw how he kind of beats up on himself a little bit, beats up on his caddies at times. And I think he obviously wants to do well, and he probably doesn't want to like lose it at times, but that's something I'm looking out for tomorrow. Is can, you know, if he does start missing some greens, is he going to be able to stay afloat? Is he going to be able to, you know, Scotty's an intimidating player to play with because he doesn't make mistakes, and it's going to feel easy for him to try to play too aggressively and try to push. And it's a big day tomorrow when you're playing with Scotty in the final group.
I mean, that greens and reg stat is so wild because of just the variability of these greens with the false fronts and the way they run off. And you can hit good shots and not get rewarded. I even think back to early this morning where you were in the booth calling the Victor Hovland, Jordan Spieth group. And I think Vic takes an 8-iron and kind of draws it in and leaves underneath the hole. Jordan tries to maybe cut a 7 into the wind. Almost hoops it, like almost dunks it for an ace and runs a little bit long. And so, I mean, that is why in looking at those stats for Hao Tong, you're like, holy, I mean, it's incredible what he's done percentage-wise in finding those greens this week. So
it's been good. It's been really good.
The guy who played alongside Scotty today, Matt Fitzpatrick, I think I'm most interested on him entering this week. He's 22nd on the European Ryder Cup standings. We talked about this in the lead up to the Ryder Cup at Bethpage this fall. We've had him as the odd man out. I mean, how huge could this – if he gets a top five this week, I don't know specifically where that would vault him in those standings, but a good finish here, he's absolutely back in that conversation as a guy with a lot of Ryder Cup experience.
Oh, totally. And I think Luke Donald's been talking to Fitzy about, you know, just – you know, supporting him and hoping that his game continues to trend the right way. But coming into today, he had 12 straight rounds in the 60s. Like this wasn't a surprise for anybody that's been following golf over the last couple of weeks. Played well at the Travelers, played well at Scottish, and you know, got off to a good start the first couple of days here. And I feel like he had his moments today, from what I could tell and listening to Fitzy. But it seemed like he kind of got a little off track on the back nine and. But even when he got knocked down, it seemed like he would kind of rise back up, and just a day in which momentum like came and go, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I mean, just in my anecdotal viewing of what he was doing, a couple like short miss putts, like not gimmies in that, you know, 4 to 6 foot range. If that goes the other way, you're a lot closer. You're probably in that final group alongside Scotty. But I mean, you know, where he is, 5 shots off that lead, 9 under, you know, it's for a major championship. He's definitely in the conversation. So,
yeah, it says he was 64th today in putting. Didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah, it was tough. And then a couple quick hitters on maybe the American Ryder Cup side. Round of the day, Russell Henley, 665.
It was always Xander a Russell Shoffley. Henley week. It was always a Russell Henley week.
Always a Russell Henley week. Xander like just keeps continuing to trend up. I mean, he's a lock for the team, but 566 today. I think he's at 7 under entering Sunday here.
Did you see his quote after the round, Xander?
I didn't. What do you have to say?
Hold on. Let me get it to you real quick as I'm Googling. Continue to do your run through here.
Well, the last guy I wanted to mention, because I think I heard Kiz talk about this a little bit, is a little chatter around Chris Goddard. You sent this over. This is a Chris Goddard's performance on the par fives this week. This is in reverse chronological order. This is via the at Underdog Golf Twitter account. Eagle, birdie, birdie, eagle, birdie, eagle, birdie, par, birdie. He is currently tied for fourth in his first career open. Maybe a link specialist. I mean, he's 41st.
Could
in the Ryder
be a Bethpage specialist.
Currently 41st in those Ryder Cup standings, but this would move him up. A top five moves him up significantly.
He needs a runner up tomorrow. He needs to finish second
to make the team. You think? Yeah.
Well, to be in a position to where he's a bubble guy, like he can't go out.
FedEx Cup,
he's
got to
get the points.
How close
he's
got
to get the points. Right. Has to get it. You know, just a ridiculous amount of points this week.
Do you have the Xander quote?
Yeah. So yesterday when I was telling you about Xander Schauffele, how like he somehow got better through some of the worst downpours ever and had a really good end to his back nine, said yesterday felt terrible. Even with some of the shots coming in, I felt like I was luck boxing my way through the back nine, somehow making contact and then sitting it somewhere near the hole and getting it in. Today felt like I was in more control. And from my perspective, he looks more confident than luck boxing, but just comes to show that sometimes it just doesn't feel right. And he was battling the driver a little bit yesterday. Today, it appears that he drove it much better today. The stats were obviously awesome, shooting a 66. But we always are saying, Xander's so close, but it's good to see that he kind of creeped up, in the top of the leaderboard there for a minute. Good to see his name on that first page.
I mean, he's still the cut streak is still alive. It's an incredible streak, six best of all time, and I think it's just not that we ever doubted him, but I guess when he's been battling things all season, like his putting performance, there goes the rest of that Guinness. And we got the mustache. All of our YouTube viewers, we got a little Guinness mustache in the mix. Love to see that. But I think for Xander, it's, this is exactly what you want to see. I mean, not that we ever doubted it, but it can be hard to return from injury and feel like you're finding form and feels again. And he has clearly done that in the mix again. So a good trend for him. I know you don't have your assignment for tomorrow, but let's just theoretically say that you were in the position that you've been throughout the week and you have that second to last group and you're with Rory and Fitz, just personally, like, where's this going to rank in your broadcasting career? I mean, I don't think there's going to be anything like this, following Rory on a Sunday at the Open Championship in Northern Ireland. I mean, it's going to be incredible.
Tomorrow's going to be fun. Whoever I'm with, I'm really excited just to be a part of an incredible Sunday at Port Rush. It's it's such a great job, and I don't take it for granted. It's such a blessing to be able to do this every day. And what's sad for me is that we really need a cheers to this being the last day of a major round until April. Like, so
Sunday
sad.
Scaries. Boo.
This is seriously Sunday scaries, and gosh, I wish we had more major championships, but you need to appreciate days like tomorrow. If Scottie Scheffler goes on and wins this thing, it's just to have an appreciation for what this guy's doing right now.
I mean, I think any way you cut it, it's going to be highly entertaining to see what Rory does, kind of buoyed by the emotion of the home fans. And then, yeah, if Scottie goes ahead and wins this thing,
this is not a Bud Light, by the way. This is a water. These are waters here.
The classic on course canned water. And Port Rush. But I mean, yeah, I mean, with Scottie, if he wins his fourth major tomorrow and his third of the four of career Grand Slam events completed, and we're looking at a potential career Grand Slam completed next year at Shinnecock, just, incredible, incredible stuff. So
it's a great run, man. Can't wait either. It's going to be a fun Sunday. Quick weather update tomorrow.
Let's get that.
Hand down, man down. Just so you know, birdies are potentially banging tomorrow. It's going to be a great day out there with plenty of opportunities, especially early on. The wind today was in at the first hole. Tomorrow it's going to be down. So those first five holes are going to be, I would say, potentially a little easier. I actually kind of look at my book real quick. Hold on 1 second.
Okay. I'm going to filibuster. While Smiley looks at his book, I mean, and he's still got his headset on so he can hear me. I think that's best case scenario. That weather report is as good as we're going to get, more so because if it's a bad weather, he's lost a headset now. So now I just get to filibuster entirely. But I think if we get a bad weather report for tomorrow, the game is
5 to 10 mile an hour.
5 to 10, that's, it's about as good as it gets for scoring. I mean, this is what we want, right, Smiley? Give some chasers a chance to post a really low number early and make it intriguing heading into the final nine holes of Port Rush, right?
Definitely so. And it's actually, since there's a little bit of east in the forecast tomorrow, but mainly out of the north, it'll make the first three or four holes play in or off of the left, which makes those holes play more challenging depending on how big the gusts are. So definitely out of bounds comes into play on all of those first four holes.
That first tee shot with the
definitely. It just depends. It's only says five. It only says 5 to 10 right now. So unless it just kicks up a little bit more, it doesn't appear to be too difficult. But the rest of the golf course, from what I've talked to in the players, when it's a north, when it has any type of north in it, it makes everything after the first stretch of five holes play a little bit easier based on the wind direction. So I expect really, really good scoring tomorrow. I know they're going to continue to hide these pins. They've done a great job of hiding these flag sticks and putting them up on these ridges. But still, I still feel like there's going to be a, you know, a 700 round par tomorrow, or 7 under round par. I said that right, didn't I?
7 under round, 7 under par round.
There it is.
We got that. We got there eventually. We got there eventually.
Sorry, I guess the Guinness is Guinnessing already.
The Guinness is Guinnessing. I got a few in the fridge downstairs myself. Might have to go crack one in celebration once we
have. You ever poured a Guinness?
I poured several of them this week.
Like the proper way, you know how they do it out of a. Like, have you ever poured one out of a.
This might shock you. Like, I don't have a Guinness draft machine in my house.
No, so but some people. No. Some people have done that when they've come over here to pour their Guinness. Like, it's something to go learn how to do. I think it's like an activity for people to do.
Okay. Well, there's a reason to come back.
There's a proper way.
There's a proper way. We're hoping for a proper Sunday at Royal Portrush. It sounds like we have all the makings of one. Scottie Scheffler carrying that 4-shot lead. Would love for a Rory onslaught, a little pressure here. Rory and Scottie coming down the stretch about as good as it could get. We appreciate y'all watching and listening all week long. And after tomorrow's round, a full in-depth recap of everything Smiley saw and listened to this week. And we're going to him for some final thoughts right now.
Okay. Winning score.
What Real quick.
What do you got?
Okay.
I think Scotty gets a 20 under and wins by 7.
If the weather is as good as you're saying it is, I'm going to say 18 because I think that I'm saying that wishfully because I think that makes it intriguing. I think other guys are in the mix if he's at 18. I don't disagree with your 20, but I'm just hoping
I think it's going to be an onslaught.
18 and a 17, a couple of 16s, and it's just a fun.
I'm cheering for like an overtime game. I'd love overtime and free golf, but I just see Scotty walking down the 18th fairway with just a lead that we'll talk about for a long time. It's like, how did we get here?
I tend to agree. Well, there you have it. Come right back here tomorrow for the full recap of this Open Championship. We'll talk to you then. Enjoy Sunday at Royal Portrush. See you.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our lovely fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes. So I'm happy to come on and shoot the